Good evening, Harmony, and welcome to our midweek service. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and tonight we're going to look at the conclusion to the book of Hebrews. So we've been studying this over the last several weeks, and we're excited to look at this. So we'll begin with a prayer request. So we want to continue to pray for Ms. Lois and Joe. She's doing better, and some of it's been rather miraculous. So we want to continue to pray for her, and we praise the Lord for that. And then we want to pray for Brother Austin Gardner, who is improving. He's in the ICU with COVID-19, but he is improving, so we want to pray for him. We want to pray for David Gates, also in the hospital, with the same, and so we want to pray for his healing, and he's improving as well. And we want to pray for all the members of our church, for all of our shut-ins, for those struggling in any way, physically, financially, just in any way. And we want to continue to pray for Pastor Mohan as he battles cancer. And then we want to pray for all those who listen to us online, and those who are listening in different countries around the world that are struggling with different things. And we want to pray for the United States. We want to pray for peace. There's a lot of upheaval right now, and rioting and other things going on. And so we want to pray for peace to come upon the United States. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. And I do pray that you would bless us. I pray that you would bless those who are listening tonight to the online service. We do pray for Miss Lois. We pray for her continued healing. We pray for Joe. We pray for all the members of Harmony. And we pray that you would just bless them and watch over them. We pray for Dee. And we pray that you would continue to raise him up and continue to let him see healing and bring him back to be with us again in the in-person services. We pray for Brother Austin, and we pray that he will continue to heal and improve. And we pray for David Gates and his healing. We thank you for the healing that you've given already. And we want to pray for Pastor Mohan, and we just pray that you would heal him of his cancer, and we pray that your will would be done and that you would just give healing. We pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. Pray for our president. We pray that you would bring peace, that you would bring wisdom in how to deal with things, and that you would just give peace and reconciliation. And we pray for justice for Mr. Floyd, who was killed in the way he was, and we pray for justice for his family, and we pray for that you would just give healing to our land. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you'd forgive us for our sins. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit tonight as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Well, the title of the message tonight is Benediction. And this is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 25. So, as I've said, this will be the conclusion to our study of Hebrews. In Hebrews, the author is trying to exhort his readers to come out of the Old Testament legal system and into a new covenant based on the cross work of Jesus Christ. The old system was based on the law of Moses, and it was based on animal sacrifices, which could never take away sin. But the new covenant is based on Jesus Christ and his work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And so the book of Hebrews is out of law and into grace. Hebrews is filled with warnings and exhortations. And as we've studied in the past at Harmony before the COVID-19 took place, we were studying this and we were looking at all the different exhortations to the Hebrew Christians who were being tempted to go back to the law and to leave Christ. We were seeing all the exhortations for them to keep their faith in Christ, but also the warnings of sure judgment if they turned away. And God uses that system of warnings and exhortations to motivate us to continue to follow Christ and to believe in Him. And the closing part of the letter that we come to is a priestly blessing. It's a benediction. And so we'll look at that now. So the first thing in verses 20 through 21 is the blessing. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So this closing benediction begins with peace and ends in verse 25 with grace. Grace and peace answer the two greatest problems for mankind, sin and a troubled conscience. Grace takes care of our sin, and peace our troubled conscience. And there can be no peace without grace. You can't have peace until you're born again and you've received God's grace and His forgiveness. And then you can have peace. Paul, the Apostle Paul, began all of his epistles with grace and peace. And this book of Hebrews, this letter of Hebrews, ends with it. Now the Bible, this first verse also mentions the everlasting covenant. And the everlasting covenant, there have been different thoughts on this, but really, if you read the book of Hebrews and you just take in context what it could be, the book of Hebrews contrasts the old covenant, the Old Testament, with the new covenant, the New Testament. And so it makes sense that the everlasting covenant is the New Testament. All through Hebrews, as I've said, the old is contrasted with the new. Now remember that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Bible says. And so God's intent from the beginning, was to save His people. And so this covenant, this new covenant, surpasses the temporary law of Moses, and it is everlasting. Now the third thing we'll look at in this verse is the Bible says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So, salvation was purchased by the blood, by Christ's blood, by the blood of Christ, which means by His death on the cross. He shed His blood on the cross and died for our sins. And so that's how salvation was purchased for us. And then you'll notice that the Bible says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. So Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of His people. Pastors are also shepherds, but are subservient to Christ, who is the great shepherd of the sheep. Some pastors preach in such a way and act in such a way that you wouldn't know they're shepherds. I heard a preacher tell the story of one time he was on a tour of the Holy Land, and their tour stopped because there was a shepherd bringing some sheep across the road. And he noticed that this shepherd acted differently from every other shepherd that he'd ever seen. The other shepherds he'd seen always stood in front and led the sheep. But this shepherd was behind the sheep, and he was driving the sheep. And he seemed to be angry and not to be acting like the shepherds that this preacher had seen before. So the preacher asked the tour guide and said, "Sir, Every other shepherd leads the sheep from the front, but this shepherd is driving them from behind. What kind of a shepherd is this? And the tour guide said, "Sir, that's not a shepherd. That's a butcher. And he's driving the sheep to the slaughter." And there are some pastors that while they should be leading their sheep, instead they stand up Sunday after Sunday and they butcher the sheep with an angry attitude and with sermons that end up slaying people rather than shepherding them. And so, it's important that Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep and that we as pastors and that preachers should follow our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in caring for the sheep. Now, verse 21 says, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." So Christ wants to perfect us in good works so that we can do His will. Now the expression "make perfect," "make you perfect," means to make one what he ought to be, to qualify fully, to complete in character, as Bill Mounts says. So, that's the meaning of make perfect. And so if we look at it this way, it's saying to make you what you ought to be in every good work to do His will. God's work in us changes us into the image of Christ. That's what we ought to be. And that is sanctification. And it's a process. God is making us what we should be. Paul said in the Epistle to the Romans, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me," there in Romans 7:21. Even when we try to do good, we don't do it as we should. However, God has a solution to this. He is working in us, making us what we ought to be, conforming us to His will. So, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And of course, Christ dwells in every believer through the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is working inside of us to change us into the image of Christ through the process of sanctification. And so that's happening in the life of every believer. Some believers fight against it. And sometimes we all fight against it and we want to go in a different direction. And God has to correct us and bring us back into line the way He wants us to go. And we don't get saved and all of a sudden we're perfect. We're far from it. But God is making us into what He wants us to be and into what we need to be through the process of sanctification. Now, and by the way, this is reassuring and ought to be reassuring to everyone who's trying to do the will of God, because the Bible says, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ." So, God, we try to do the will of God, and yet we mess up. And we do things we shouldn't do. And sometimes we say, "Well, maybe I should just give up." I don't know how many times I've said, "Maybe I should just give up pastoring. Maybe I should just give up preaching the Word. And just do something else, because I try to do right and things go wrong." And I had a friend, I was just talking to him recently, and he said, "Maybe I should just quit teaching the Bible. Maybe I should just quit, because I mess up all the time." And so this is a great assurance to us that are trying to do the will of God, that God is doing a work, Jesus Christ is doing a work to make us perfect in every good work to do His will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. And so, it's not a completed work, it is a progressive work. And just as Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he says at the end of chapter 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will deliver us ultimately from this body of sin and death. And in the meantime, he's progressively conforming us to his will. Now that we've looked at this blessing, a part of the conclusion, now we'll look at some concluding matters in verses 22 through 29. And the Word of God says, And I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, I appeal to you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. The author of Hebrews says, My letter's not that long. It's a few words. It's pretty short. But suffer the word of exhortation. Bear with me. Bear with what I'm trying to tell you. You know, a lot of our congregations suffer. I think my congregation suffers through a lot of my sermons. But he's saying, bear with me. Bear with me. His letter is brief. You know, he says, I've written unto you in a few words, compared to what? Well, compared to the Old Testament law, which he's telling them, you know, don't follow the Old Testament sacrificial system anymore. You need to not turn back to that. You need to follow Christ because the old is passing away. So compared to the Old Testament law that outlines the tabernacle and the sacrificial system and all of that, this letter is brief. It's brief. And he's asking them, accept what I've said to you in this brief letter. Accept what I've said. Suffer the word of exhortation. Bear with it. Put up with it. Even if you don't like it, put up with it. Because the old things are passing away. You may not like that. But everything you've known from the time that you were a child, before you got saved, everything you've known is going away. And you need to embrace Christ and the new covenant. And he wants them to understand that the old is inferior to the New Testament in Christ. And that's what the book of Hebrews is saying. All the way through. It's showing the reader and it's showing us the inferiority of the old system and the old priesthood to the priesthood of Christ and to the new system. But these people don't like change. Nobody likes change. Change is hard. But it's necessary. And so he says, suffer the word of exhortation. Bear with me. Bear with me. I've written to you this little letter, this short letter, but you need to follow its teachings and follow Christ and not go back to the legalistic system. And then he says in verse 23, Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. So Timothy had been in jail, and now he's been set free. There's no other reference to this in Scripture, to Timothy being in jail. This is the only place. But I imagine a lot of them got locked up quite often for preaching, as it was illegal sometimes, and there was a lot of persecution. And so Timothy had been in jail, and he made bail, and he was set at liberty. And the author of Hebrews says, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. So he said, you know, Timothy may come to see you shortly, and I'm going to see you too. And then he says, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. So traditionally, this epistle was written from Rome and penned by Timothy. In fact, there's a subscript that's in some of the older editions of the King James, and maybe in some newer translations as well, that says, written to the Hebrews from Italy by Timothy. If Timothy penned it, it does not mean that he authored it. In fact, verse 23 would strongly indicate that Timothy did not author it. Verse 23 says, "Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you." So obviously, the writer, the author of Hebrews, is referencing Timothy, but he's a different person than Timothy. However, Timothy could have been scribe for the author, who was known to the Hebrews. All the saints that this letter was sent to knew who the author of Hebrews was. We don't know who he was, but they knew who he was. And some believe the expression, "they of Italy salute you," is referring, as Charles Ryrie writes, to the Italians living outside Italy sending their greetings home. So in this view, the original audience of the letter of the Hebrews was Jewish believers living in Italy. So it was sent to Italian Jewish believers, Jewish believers that were living in Italy. And so it was written outside of Italy in this view. And there were some people from Italy in the church there, and so they were sending greetings home. And then finally, the letter concludes with, "Grace be with you all. Amen." Or amen, if we want to be formal. But grace be with you all. This closing begins with peace and ends with grace. And grace is what we need, especially during this time, but all the time. Grace is when we get what we don't deserve. And the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of bad things going on in the world today. And it seems like society is in a constant upheaval. Coronavirus, riots, racial injustice, and prejudice, and murders that take place right on camera. And we need grace. Grace, when we get what we don't deserve, we need the grace of God. And if you've never been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, maybe you've been trying to do what many of these Hebrews were trying to do. Maybe you're trying to follow the law and work things out by living by a certain set of rules, the golden rule, whatever you want to live by. But you're trying to follow rules and follow a set of religious rituals and thinking that that will get you to heaven. But indeed, what you need is the grace of God. For the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so God doesn't want people going around boasting about how many good things they've done so that they can be saved. God wants sinners to come to the cross of Christ and to see, just as the first of our study, we talked about the blood of the covenant, of the everlasting covenant. God wants us to come to the cross of Christ and see Christ crucified on that cross for our sins and buried and risen again the third day from the dead. And when we see Christ and believe in Him as our crucified, buried, and risen Savior, then God takes all of our sins away and He gives us the everlasting life. He gives us the gift of everlasting life through His everlasting covenant. And so, have you been born again? Have you been saved? Has there been a day when you turned to Jesus Christ in faith and trusted Him as your crucified, buried, and risen Savior and received Him into your life? If you have not done that, you don't have everlasting life. You're still in your sins, on your way to hell. But if you today will turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior, then you'll be saved by grace. By grace. Grace be with you all. Amen. Well, as we conclude our study tonight, I want to remind you of the Saturday night Bible study, which will be at 6:30 p.m. this Saturday. Brother Johnny Coffey was sick last week, so we didn't have it. But this Saturday, we've already got it recorded and we're ready to go. So Saturday night at 6:30, this is an online only Bible study taught by, Brother Johnny Coffey. And then join us, Sunday morning at 11, and we'll be preaching both in person at Harmony Baptist Church and right here in our online service. And continuing our study through the book of Genesis on Sunday morning at 11. But let's conclude in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all those who have joined us this evening and who will listen in the future. And I do pray that if there's anyone listening that's not saved, I pray today would be the day that they would turn to Christ and trust Him as their Lord and Savior. And I pray that you would give them assurance of everlasting life. And I pray for those who need your peace right now in the midst of all this turmoil, everything that's going on in the world. I pray that you would just give us grace and give us peace and calm us and assure us of your presence in the midst of all of this. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for this book of Hebrews that shows us the superiority of Jesus Christ to the law and to legalism. And so we thank you for that. And we do pray that you'd help us to follow Christ this week, for we ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week.